Proverbs 13, and then we move to Proverbs 14. We will elaborate quite a bit on Proverbs 14, 1 through 3. And we talked about a lot of what happens to us in the folly of making bad choices. And folly, we did explain last week, means that it's foolishness, actually, but the word often uses the word folly. This is a book, Proverbs, is a book that contains 35 verses, and each is a nugget, a really good gold nugget of insight, and this book compares goodness against evil, righteousness against sinfulness, and you really get good information and insight on how to live and how to overcome. It sets up a, if I can use this term, a pathway to help you get straight to where God would have you to be and to live a life full that God has placed before you and not get off on the path of folly. So Proverbs is best understood, though, in the context with the books Ecclesiastes and Job. In Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the theme throughout the whole book, and is given in short, simple, general terms. On Ecclesiastics, on the other side, represents wisdom based on observation and on experience. Now, this often shows that the general principles of the book of Proverbs don't apply in absolutely every circumstance, so some people think. And then the book of Job represents wisdom based on the experience of suffering and injustice. But all three come to the conclusion that God does indeed know best. And the most sensible course of action, guess what it is to do his will and to live in his will in every circumstance.
I got it.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Let's jump right in. Get your Bibles now. We're going to move around a little bit tonight. This week, we're going to go to Proverbs 14, and we're going to start at the fourth verse. Really, we're going to spend a lot of time at number four. Remember, Proverbs continues with King Solomon and his wisdom, saying in this chapter, he discusses a variety of topics, such as wisdom and folly, which we've mentioned. But he also, Proverbs, discusses honesty and dishonesty. Remember I said, righteousness and evil, national security, that's a hot topic right now, and national disgrace. Personal security, and destruction, the fear of the Lord, generosity, and wise servanthood. So tonight, we're going to discuss living in integrity, which is the opposite of the dishonesty, right? Okay. So let me give you a couple definitions that are kind of set the tone for us. So integrity is the quality, now this is the Webster's definition, okay? Proverbs is going to define this clearly. Integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Next definition, the state of being whole and undivided. Okay, let me get that one to you again. So Proverbs, in Proverbs tonight, we're going to talk about integrity, which is the opposite of dishonesty. You know, sometimes you have to start from the opposite end to work into something. Because in today's world, there are people who really don't understand integrity. But they do understand and see and experience the dishonesty that's happening. So once you bring that forward, meaning the dishonesty or the understanding of it, you absolutely receive or take in the understanding of what integrity does mean and how it works in our lives. So we kind of gave that recognition. And so tonight I'm going to ask, please join us. Put in the chat if you have any questions or if you have any statements. We want to share this across the media line so that no one is outside of this room because we're connected by the media. So my question to those who are here with us and those who are out there, what example do you see today, or examples, of what is considered by this word and this definition dishonest? Anybody? Come on, I need you to write so that our media family can hear me. The word tells us that things of their present are very dishonest. Can you name a couple of things that they can play there for them? And that's a good example, actually, because integrity means you say what you mean and mean what you say. That's kind of what the old folks say. You say what you mean what you say. And so that's a good example explaining to the people that if you promise something to somebody, if you said you're going to do something for somebody, if you have placed yourself in a position where people are trusting in you, then walking in dishonesty is not the example, and it's not working. It's the integrity of doing, as I said, it's a cliche, but it really works well. Doing what you say, saying what you're gonna do. And people can trust in that. Unfortunately, the trust today is out the window, because I believe, based on what I read in Proverbs, and I wanna hear from all of you, what is it in us today? What in this season is keeping us from walking in the integrity of the word? It seems that everybody is flip-flopping, or appears to be flip-flopping from one thing to another, meaning as the wind blows, we're changing our mind. Anybody got a, come on, Pastor.
We're living in a season now where we talk about my truth versus the truth. Okay. And I believe there's only one truth, and it is the word of God. None of us can know what the Creator wanted. He created everything. And yet, we tend to want to point to our truth or what makes us feel good or what we think is right, and we want to make that right. And I share with people all the time, you know, if you want to make something right, you can find a lot of 10 people that will agree with you, but does it still make it true? And even to the point, just because the majority votes on something, does it make something true?
Absolutely.
Okay. So when I look at the integrity of the word, God didn't build the creation, He built the world, the universe, based off of anybody's truth but His, and the fundamental foundation of that. And we've moved away from that because we want other things to be right, but we want to be right. And I don't, you know, I've come to the conclusion and said, you know, I don't have to be right anymore in anything. I used to want to prove my case and argue to my point. But as long as God is right, then I'm right. Because I'm following Him. That's the stance I'm taking today. You know, it's taken me a long time to grow and mature to get to that place where God has to be right. And if I'm following Him, then I'm right and I'm okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. That was good. That's really good. So, you know, I'm full of questions, because I believe that when you ask a question, it will elicit a thought. You have some word in you. You will operate in integrity of the word you have in you to respond. If, let me say this, this is not a beat up on anyone. If you don't know the word, when the question is asked, it may give you a thirst and a desire to seek out the truth of the word by searching the word yourself. So it works both ways. So what just was stated to us, we are in a season, in a world based on the end times, where what is truthful to one is not truthful to another, because a lot of people are not acting on So my next thought or question would be for our audience and for anyone else, how do we get people to understand that when you're seeking the truth, that the word, we're talking Proverbs right now, gives them excellent guidance. That's the truth. What methods, I have some suggestions, but what methods are we using as the body of Christ to help people get the truth of Proverbs? My pastor's smiling. My pastor's here with me. I'm so excited. But I know he has a response. But Pastor, you want to answer it?
I don't think there's any one answer.
Okay.
So there's no one conclusion. But things like this, for myself, to let go of traditional Bible study and allow to have this table talk and this, and even have Pastor Rob, who pretty much, you know, you're here tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for filling in. But Pastor Rob is much younger than me, and he does a wonderful job, and evidence and proof of some of the young people that have been coming in and supporting, I'm excited every time I see them because they want something different. They want more for their families and for themselves, and I'm loving it. You know, I just seen one of my sisters back here, you know, with her child, and he's eating. And you know what? Back in the day, we said, "Oh, no, eat in the sanctuary." You know what? But she pressed to be here. Why would I say she can? You know, some things. These are the things we have to do different. You got to let go of that. Things that would prohibit people from getting the word and love on them so they can get it.
Yeah,
and I think that that's the new way. I'm going to go here too, right? My sister's here. She is hot out. She got her shorts on, right? But I'm saying, she okay. You know why? According, I said, come as you are. Just don't come next to because you're drawing too much attention. but again, I don't think we put all these emphasis on that traditional stuff that pushes people out. Like I wear a suit jacket and shirts and ties, right? But everybody don't have to look like me. This is my style. But I'm good with your style. Like it doesn't offend me. And I think, you know, we've done, so these are changing points that I think the church needs to get into. We need to, as a body of believers, our door is going to really, is it open? And then when I say open, you know, are we willing to receive people from where they are?
That's right.
And
that's
then,
right.
Like, you know, again, I think that those are some of the things we have to do different to get to the truth. Otherwise, we'll feel like I'm not welcome, I'm not comfortable, you know. And I think that that's wrong. We should never, especially judging somebody about what they wear or dress or how much, because we don't know what their financial situation is. And I don't think, you know, just because you dress some part one way, we don't need to make everybody else look like you.
Absolutely. I'm with you, Pastor. And I'm going to, come on, Pastor. As someone else is coming, I just want to jump on the bandwagon with Pastor, in that when you are reading the truth, you take out the religiosity to live in, and you give them what God means and desires for them. Isn't that what you want to say? Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Like spirits. Come on.
I was going to say one of the other ways that we can draw the people in is to live. It's to live a life of relationship. It's to live a life of religious rules. You know, at our church, we teach relationship over religion every day because, like Pastor said, it's not about the doctrine and the tradition. It's about the actual word. And you said, how do we get the truth out?
Yes, Lord. That's it. Yeah, I love it when the Spirit of God is moving about. You'll hear the same thread throughout everybody. May not have the same words, but the same meaning. So in that, I want to add to that. When we were talking about integrity, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind just now the two mothers who got in a debate over their children, over one child. And the Bible. We're talking Bible tonight, okay? I know it sounds like we're only talking world, but you'll get this, all right? But, so they all, I'll give you the story, what I'll give you. Two mothers. So it starts off. They have one child, and they want to fight over the child. So they have to go before the king. The king has to decide who's telling the truth. Or who's integral in this, and who is not. Come on. I was coming back to that. Yeah, I was coming back to that. I'll come back into how they got before the king. Okay. My pastor's so insane. But anyway, so I'm going back into it now because my pastor's final. They had to appear before the king because there was a situation where there were two children and one died. So they were left with the one child. Now, I don't know about any of you. I'm a mother. And so a mother wants the best for her children. But a godly mother wants not only the best for their children, but she wants the righteous thing for the child. And so it was common that the king at that time had to make the decision. So they went before the king to see which one of these mothers are going to get this child. When I was young when I first heard the story. So it amazed me, the outcome. And it leads into integrity. So the king contemplated what best to do. He decided to put it before them. He said, I can divide the child up. Which meant he had to kill the child because you know humans can't be divided, right? And and I'm paraphrasing this, because I want to ask another question. So he knew that a true, integral mother would not want anything to happen to their child, even if that meant she was losing him. And so the true mother said, no, 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 let her have him. And that made the king understand who the true, integral person was in this situation. Why am I using that? Because often we have to make decisions that don't always benefit us, and integrity is what we have to stand on. And so for a mother to say give up her child just to protect her child meant that she stood in the integrity of truth first, secondly, the integrity of trusting the Lord her God that the right decision would bring the right outcome. That also is integrity. We don't always see that as integrity, but it is. Anybody have like to share anything in reference to that? No? Okay. All right. Solomon. And the king was Solomon. Okay. Yeah. And I believe it's Solomon 4. Anybody want to help me? I think it's Solomon 4. Yeah. I'll let you know before we get out of here though. But it was such a, I remember when I was young and I read the story, and we were really reading the story about the integrity of the king, not so much the integrity of the mother. Oh, thank you, Pastor. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let me make sure I write that down. Someone else again. Yeah. King was Solomon. You know, Solomon is known as the king with great wisdom. And in that wisdom came integrity in his operation of his kingdom. And so it's important that we understand in order to operate fully and prosperously in our, what we call our kingdom, that's home, that's church, maybe the business that you operate, integrity is really very important. So by referring to this verse that we're talking about, now let me go back. I want to read a verse for you. Let's go to Proverbs 4:14-4. And I'm going to read that for you. Proverbs 14:4 says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. I'll read that again. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So So I'm going to elaborate just a little bit on that. I want us to talk about that. The wisdom of the prudent is discerned in this way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. That's what the next verse says. So it's explaining to us that when you have, what's the term I want to use? When you have plowed, because we talked about the oxen last week, when we have you have plowed the field and you have planted the seeds of integrity through the word of God, the field's clean because you've planted truth in your heart, in your mind, in the area where you're talking. So the oxen is, as we talked last week, is an example of us plowing a field or turning over soil or digging up roots or digging up weeds so that a field can be planted with good seed. Good seed being the word of God, which brings the integrity or the fruit of the integrity. So a clean field is a field that the oxen, we plowed it up and we planted the seed of integrity through the word of God so that the harvest from that seed brings on a great life. Everybody with me? So any comments about that? Anybody in your own lives, have you had an opportunity over your lives where you've seen, you've had a time in your life where you've planted, you've had to toil, you've had to work, but you had to stay consistent and integral about what you're doing. And it didn't happen right away, because you know when you plant seeds, they don't come up 2 minutes later on. It takes a while, but you have to continue to work like the oxen does, work the field. Anybody have a situation, experience a time where you've had to keep plowing, meaning keep standing and standing in place, telling the truth about a situation, believing on it and trusting God in it to have the harvest you are seeking to come forth? Anybody have that in their lives? Okay, that's a point of pause. That's a point of pause. Okay, let me go back a little bit, because I want to give you some definitions that makes you be able to understand this a little more. I told you about integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, and the state of being whole and undivided. Let's talk about that piece right there. Whole and undivided. When I talked about the mothers dividing the child, it was only the mother's integrity that allowed him to be whole and undivided. Whole and undivided in today's world seems very difficult for us to rely on, particularly if you don't have the word of God in you. But it requires work like the oxen does in some messy fields sometimes. Like the oxen does. It means that being honest means you got to be clear-sighted, not self-deceived. Self-deceived. Anybody know the definition of self-deceived or deceived? When you think you know something and you stand on it and you don't really know the truth of it, that's the foolishness of being, or the folly the word speaks of in Proverbs, of being self-deceived. Okay, I'm going to give us a couple more verses here to kind of get us stirred up. Proverbs 4:5 says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. This statement here closely resembles, and if you'd like to take down this, Proverbs 12:17, and the Bible teaches us to be truthful. The book of Proverbs highlights the importance of this concept by frequently contrasting deception and lies from honesty and truth. Point. There's another person in the Bible who's a good example of this truth, meaning integrity, and honesty and lies. And most of us know he's called Judas. Judas promised God who's going to always be with him, promised Jesus will always be with him. And typically those people who are wavering, those of us who waver in integrity, will make promises that we don't keep. Right. So for those who may not know the story, in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of his primary disciples, the one that was close to him, promised he would never leave our Lord. And all the time, he had already sold out Jesus for some gold so that the soldiers could come to take Jesus away to be crucified. Sitting next to Jesus at a table, he told him he would never leave me, knowing he had already sold him out. So, and in the end, just to let you know, I'm going through this quickly, Judas hung himself. Now, I know that really sounds gruesome. But not operating integrity will put you in a place that you are really demising what's good for you, that you are really putting hurt and pain on yourself because no truth, the word says, no prospering. No truth, no prospering. These are hard lessons for people to learn today because it takes some fortitude to stay integral. Because on today, it's easy to waver. We got TV, we have internet, we've got TikTok, we've got Instagram, and everybody has their truth. Yeah. But the word only gives you one truth, and that's the truth of God. Okay, let me go back. Most of these references are in the context of legal or courtroom matters. Circumstances where deception or dishonesty are obviously disallowed and excusable. Our court system is really built on the word. Most people don't know that. And that the first process, if you're in a courtroom to testify, is where you lay your hand on a Bible to say that you're telling the truth. But that doesn't matter if you don't believe in the word that you're putting your hands on. And that's obvious in some of the court cases we're seeing take place nowadays, that people really don't believe what they're saying, which is the word of God. We also see people who are busy working on TV and other media outlets where they're telling a story that best suits their situation, not necessarily the truth. Sports figures. I don't know. I was watching a sports figure the other day. He was doing a talk show. And he was so excited. He was interviewing someone. And I won't say his name because I don't want to put that out there in the atmosphere. And he was interviewing someone. And they were talking about all of the stories that had been told about a few other sports figures and entertainers who were in the same rooms and areas. That now is coming out, and everybody now is telling the truth. Before, the situation was ungodly that was going on, and they were not telling the truth. If they talked about being approached 2 years ago with the same question answered one way, and now today, the same group of people are answering the question another way. Same event, same group of people, two different stories. It just gives a perfect example that the ability, the need to tell the truth is not subjective. It is either yay or nay. And that's what the word says. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. That is called integrity. Okay. Often the judge in legal disputes, like Solomon, was keenly aware of the importance of reliable witnesses. Later in the same book, he assures us a false witness will be punished for lying. That's Proverbs 19:5. He states further that a liar will perish. Proverbs 19:9. And in Proverbs 24:28, he urges, be not a witness against your neighbor without a cause, and do not deceive with your lips. In Proverbs 25:18, he compares a person who bears false witness against his neighbor to a weapon. Just as these inflict severe harm on a body, so do lies severely hurt their victim. Any thoughts, anybody? No? Okay, I must be reading a lot. Nobody's talking to me tonight, but that's okay. Jesus expects the people to bear honest testimony about him. He told his disciples, "You will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's Acts 18. Paul, one of Jesus' foremost witnesses, told Governor Festus, "Most excellent Festus, I'm speaking true and rational words. Truth must prevail even in the courtroom of life. And we are being judged. The word says that we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives, of our actions, of the deeds that he's put before us, the work he puts before us. So our truth must stand and keep us in the right position so that when that day comes, we are standing before God and being rewarded for our integrity." Okay, that let me go on in just a little bit more. Let's go to Proverbs 5 and 6. Proverbs 14, 5 and 6. I'd be better. I'm one of those preachers who likes to read the Bible when I'm doing. So I have all these notes, but the Bible is what it inspires you. It really it gets you going. Young folks say it gets your juices going. So Proverbs 14, 5 and 6. And these two scriptures are about the faithful and the false witnesses. A faithful witness will not lie. We're back to that court situation. But a false witness will utter lies. 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understands. The word tells us what all I get is to get understanding. So this word is alluding to, if we operate in integrity, we tell the truth. If we don't create false lies, that as we seek the wisdom of that, the truth will come forth, and the knowledge we get from it comes to us easily. Meaning, I'm going to give you an example. I have some grandchildren at home, and we were going over homework, and I asked them, did they, in class, finish the class assignment, or do they need to finish it while they're at home tonight? "No, Mom, I did it all." I said, "Okay," and I was busy cooking, so I wasn't at the table. So I asked, after I finished cooking, "Let me check your homework, and let me check to see if your folder has notes from the teacher." So I did. And when I opened up the folder, there was a note from the teacher saying that my grandson had not completed his classwork. It was given to him for homework that night, right? So we had to have a little talk about that. But you know, he's not isolated. Most of us will subvert the truth if it's making our lives harder, at least we got. Think it's making our lives harder. If we think we have to work harder because we're telling the truth, we might, what we don't think means lie, we might try to skate past. There are a lot of examples in our lives and in the world where people have tried to skate past what is the truth. There's another example that comes to mind that most people don't think about when it comes to telling the truth. When the prodigal son left home, taking all that belonged to him, so he said it belonged to him, really what it is, to tell the truth, it was a little bit inheritance. Inheritance means after the person's gone. But he was given all of it so that he could live a life that he was saying would be better to be at home. And then he found out when he got out there in the street that the truth was, he at home, he was living a king's life. where he had servants and food and luxuries, all the things most people would want. So our desires, our hearts, the things that we want sometimes will put us in positions to not just lie to other people, but lie to ourselves. And the word says that's even worse. To lie, meaning you deceive yourself. Anybody in the room have any comment on that? Ever experienced a time when you saw that you were not telling yourself the truth? And what happened to bring that about? May you know that you weren't telling yourself the truth. And one word, while they're contemplating that, know that not telling the truth or yourself the truth is not always necessarily a deliberate thing, meaning we don't like to hurt. We don't like pain. Humans don't like to be in pain. So if we can avert pain, a lot of times we will try to take the easy way out, which is not to tell ourselves the truth. You with me? Everybody agree? Anybody? Okay. All right. So we're going to go to 7 here. Go from the presence. We're going to Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lies of knowledge. Oh, I like that right there. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not that he's telling the truth, is what this word said. How many of us have friends that we continue to hang around because we didn't want to be by ourselves? And you know they weren't telling the truth. You know that they were fabricating stories as you went along. And you may have gotten in trouble because of some of those stories. In fact, it may have cost you something because you listened to the stories or the lies of other people. I'm going to back up a little bit because I want to talk to you a little bit more about a couple of definitions in those 6 to 7 scriptures. The word talks about in those scriptures the scoffers, a person who mocks or makes fun of someone or something, often of religion or moral values. So sometimes we'll lie because we don't want people to make fun of us. We understand they don't. We live by the word, they may not. And if we're not confident in the fact that we have a God that makes us victorious, we may succumb to someone who's a scoffer or about you and succumb to the lies that they may tell. This word is telling us don't succumb to them. Do not listen to those who are, for lack of a better term, are making fun of you. Do not feed into someone who is making fun of what is the truth or the God in you. The Greek word for scoffer derived from the verb, which means to mock or to ridicule. And it translates to mock. It's used in the Bible to describe someone who mocks someone, often with a tone of skepticism or disbelief. In the Word of God, there are several areas where people have been mocked. I think of Elijah and how the prophets of Baal mocked him. Oh, no, your God can't do this. Our God is better than your God. You serving a God without power, I'm paraphrasing. And Elijah proved that he had a God that was most powerful. That means our God. Most powerful to do all things. And he calls down I'm going to give you the whole story. Elijah tells them, in order to make a comparison and show the truth of the matter, that all the prophets of Baal were to build an altar and light the fire by calling their God to light the fire, not them. There's a group of prophets that this was to take place with. And then Baal was to build an altar, a fire, and he was going to call down his God. The Baal prophets built their little fire pits, I'm calling it, and they prayed, the word says, all night long, and their God never answered. Baal comes along, and he prays to God. But before he prays, he tells them to saturate the fire pit with water. I mean, just keep pouring water on it. I mean, I'm sorry, Elijah, what did I just say? Baal, I don't, thank you, Pastor. Elijah tells the people to put water all on his fire pit. Because we know that when something's waterly saturated, it don't light, right? Okay. We're talking integrity here, integrity here down in truth. Lies versus truth. Now, Baal's people said that, prophets said that their God was all powerful. He could do it, and he was going to do this. They prayed all night and it never happened. Elijah prayed one time after he had prepared the fire. And our God sent a fire down, and the word says, I got such a kick, it licked up everything, meaning that it wasn't a second or two, it didn't burn for 2 hours. It was immediate that the fire hit it and all of it was gone. Why am I bringing this? I'm bringing this up to say that the truth will always stand. God's truth will always stand. And if you stand in his truth, you'll always be victorious. So if you listen to scoffers, people who tease you and mock you, and you fall for that, you don't get the opportunity to stand and be able to, and I'm going to say this gently, boast about the God who can do all things with faith. Everybody with me? So, all right, so let's go on. Proverbs 8, 14 and 8. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceitful. I don't know. I kind of feel like that story just gave you about Elijah, which we're good in that scripture, because they believed the wrong thing and it didn't work. And if you listen to them, it won't work. But if you believe the righteous truth of God, it always works. Number 9, Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among righteousness there is favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that just means as long as you stay in the truth, again, you're victorious. God always fights your battles for you. Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. I think this is probably the last one. That's a good one to actually go to stop one. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. And all that means is when you walk in righteousness, someone from the outside can't change your heart. They can't get in and make a mess of things for you because you have set your sights, your belief, and your trust on God and the word of God. No matter what they're saying that may try to enter in, you have a force, for lack of a better term, a force that covers you to keep you in the place of truth and righteousness. So the book of Proverbs is such a powerful, powerful, powerful book. It is a book of instruction, direction. In today's world, it's hard for people to grasp the instruction that doesn't line up with their daily lives. We started off this session by talking referring to our government and the lies that have been told, the promises, I'm going to be respectful to our president, the promises that were made in the beginning. We only use that for example because they still haven't happened. What if for whatever reason, we must know that they haven't happened. Our God is in control. So the truth of what God has said he will do for his people still will come to pass. As long as we continue to recognize, operate, read, study, and trust in the word of God, that no matter how untruthful we're hearing or seeing life go on around us, God's truth will always stand. And our integrity will always keep it. His integrity will always keep us. I hope that you were able to get a little something out of this Proverbs study tonight. I hope Pastor Rob was watching so he can give you my report card. We do have quite a few people in here with us tonight, and we're happy for that. But what I'd like to say to our guests in social media and here in our sanctuary is that the truth is your integrity, because it's God's integrity. And God's integrity never falters, it never wavers. He's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. And every word he spoke in this word stands the test of time in every situation. So if you're concerned about whether you're standing in integrity or in the truth, I admonish you, pick up the word and read over Proverbs. And then ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding of this word, because it will ground you and root you in a place of integrity. You're welcome to Faith Harvest Worship Center and all of our services. See you on next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And please come on and join us on Sundays at 10:30 for our Sunday worship service. If you're not able to be in the house, which we hope you are, please join us Facebook Live on Sunday mornings. And as Pastor Rob so gallantly says, our services and all of God's love is free. Ministry does cost, though. We welcome your giving heart and spirit, and however you choose to give. You can go to our website, or you can give freely. And we thank you for how the Lord's leading you to be a part of Faith Harvest Worship Center here at the Harvest. Thank you so much. May God keep you. May God bless you. May his face shine upon you is our prayer. Good night.
Yes. I'm doing it now.